I guess if we were preaching to numbers, it would be somewhat discouraging when all the flock are not here. But we're not preaching to number and know the Lord is in control of all things. And sometimes you have a little doubt walking in. Am I ahead of the Lord? Am I on the right page with the Lord? Is this for this time? Well, you got a good introduction to the message and the devotion. A good introduction. And such a lovely request in the prayer, that you sang. So I trust that the Lord will give you a heart to hear, bless it to your hearts, and if He's pleased down the road to help others with it, then as John said, so be it. But right now, it's just you and me before our Lord. And that's something that the generation before me had to belong to a church before they could teach school. And the generation after me, if they profess loudly their Christian beliefs, they might be without a job. Two generations. Look how far down we've gone. I also heard the same man tell about eating with some fellows. The one on his right was in school 10, 15 years after he was, and the one on his left was in the next generation that came along. He found through the teaching of those men that God was sovereign, that He had a people before the foundation of the world, and that the work of Christ was to accomplish what God had ordained before He ever set the clock in motion. And the man that was to his right, that was 10 or 15 years behind him, said he got a hint of those truths in the same Baptist school. And the one that was a generation following said he heard nothing about God in that aspect. A little over a generation, the good Baptist school had gone liberal. Well, if you would turn with me to Numbers 32, there's some other passages that I will ask you to look at. But if you kind of keep your place marked here, there are a few, one or two more passages in Numbers that I'd like to read to you. Numbers 32. Folk, if there were more here, it would be easier to pass the message off as to someone else. But you're kind of limited this morning. I don't know that you got anyone that you can pass it on and say, well, that was really beneficial for them. You just got to receive it as to you. John was very polite, not wanting to offend, and not wanting to be misunderstood. It doesn't matter with me anymore. I don't want to offend, just to be mean-spirited. But it doesn't matter. I'm here, I hope to help you. Would to God he'd get us out of this place we are. But only he can do it. Would you pray with me? Holy Father, it's very good together with like-minded people. Together with those that have an interest and a heart, a desire to hear from Thee. Together with the people that passing by religion and getting down to dealings, personal dealings with the living God. If we were given life, born again, resurrected from death, and had a new creation within, there is that longing within such a heart to hear Thee, to speak with Thee, to have Thy presence abiding not only within, but about us as we journey. If we have been made members of Thy family, and if it is so, we have an increasing interest in the person and the work of Christ Jesus. And as we journey in heart and mind to Calvary, we see Him in our place, in our stead, enduring our pain, our torment, our hell. And there we bow as unworthy creatures to give thanks to such a one that would do that for all of us who have left to self and justice, hell would be our everlasting abode. Blessed be Thy name, Lord Jesus. Be Thou exalted in the midst of Your people. And from their hearts, may there arise thankfulness and praise. And on our bended knees, in our heart, bowing at thy feet. Grant it to be so. Now help, Lord, in preaching and in receiving. For the glory of thy great name, would you be gracious and give us the Spirit of God and the furtherance of this service. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Numbers 32, you've got the children of Reuben, children of Gad, and find out in another place that half the tribe of Manasseh approached Moses. They found a comfortable place on this side Jordan, and they want to stay there. So beginning in verse number 6, Moses replying to them. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward. And I told John to title today's message, 20 years old and upward. But I won't speak to all of you 20 years and younger, and all of you that have an acquaintance close that are associated with everybody 20 years old. No, under 20 years of age. None of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land. Holding your place there, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus 12, verse 37. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men. That's 20 years old and upward. They were, and there's some chapters that give tribe after tribe of the number of men 20 years old and upward that God called into the army to fight. If they entered the service of the tabernacle, they had to be 30 years of age. It's easier to go fight, literally, physically, than it is to serve. More is required in the service of the tabernacle, and they had to be older, more mature. You can take dumb animals that know nothing and you can put them in front of a cart and you move the ark of God. That was David's fatal mistake. For the ark was to be borne by men, 30 years old and upward. Men that could bear and knew the responsibility and the weight of carrying that which was the semblance of God Himself and the Word of God in the ark. 600,000 men, 20 years old and upward. Now in our text, verse number 10 of Numbers 32, verse number 11, I'm sorry, surely none of the men, 600,000, that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward, shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not, mark this word in your mind, wholly, entirely, with all their heart, followed me, save Caleb. And you'll find in another place, Joshua, two men, out of 600,000 went into Canaan. God said, I would have given you that land. It was yours. And Caleb had another spirit and Joshua had another spirit and they tried to steal the people and says, if God be for us, we can conquer that land. And the other 10 men said, no, you didn't look at the giants. You didn't see the walled cities. And all of Israel believed 10 men. And they all died in the wilderness. So I will attempt to speak to all of you under the age of 20, I know the small children here cannot. But everybody else in here, you say, I'm older than 20. Well, I'm still speaking to you. But that's dependent upon two things. Number one, me having your attention. And number two, greater than that, the Spirit of God getting your attention and enabling you to hear and impressing upon your heart the necessity from God to hear. Watchmen, what of the night? They called out to the one that was on the watchtower. Every time you gather, every time, if your heart is not involved, you leave with a higher tolerance against the gospel. Every single time you sit down to hear, the heart will walk out hardened to the degree that you did not hear. And one of the fears causing a not wanting to go, keep on going, and preaching one more time, I do not know if your heart is being moved Godward in the direction of God, or if you have reached a comfortable position and condition in life and you just settle down. We'll live here on this side, Jordan. I don't know. But I know this. It's not just here. It's across the land. Apathy and indifference has settled in upon the church in general in this day. When they discovered penicillin, it was the wonder drug. It was the cure-all. Not anymore in our land. It's been used so much that we've built a tolerance against it, and they've had to come up with other antibiotics. The gospel, if you could find somebody with a guilt-laden soul, the gospel is good news. But throughout my lifetime, the gospel has been handled by physicians of no value. Let's keep inoculating people. Physicians that speak peace when there is no peace. And they've handed out indiscriminately to everybody. And the gospel has no potency anymore. Everybody knows that Jesus died. Everybody believes that now. Jude, verse 12. Jude. If you look back to verse 11, you find Cain, Balaam, and Korah. All of them religious. But God said, if any like them, and all like them, these are spots in your feast of charity. Christ is coming back for a church without spot. These are spots in your feast of charity. They're not on the outside. They're within the assembly. But they're spots for when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Themselves without fear. They've heard it so much. They're so familiar with it. They can gather every time. And it doesn't have any effect. They sit without fear. God said, they're clouds. They have no water. They're clouds that show promise of rain, but they're carried about with every wind of doctrine tossed here, hither and thither, carried about winds, trees whose fruit, now listen, withereth. They have fruit. And everybody in the assembly accredits them as the children of God. They feast with you. They bear fruit. You see that evident on their tree. But it withers. Without fruit. Twice dead. Dead one time is an awful condition. But dead twice is an incurable condition. Twice dead. There was an unclean spirit that went out of a man seeking some place, some dry place that he might abide. And he roamed to and fro, but he could not find that place, but he found a house that had been swept and garnished, and he moved in, but he took with him seven more evil spirits, twice dead, made a profession, looked good for some time, became very religious, but is in a condition that can never, ever again be reached. His house is clean, been swept and garnished. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness, not just hell. But the darkest, most tormenting place. The blackness of darkness forever. And the Lord of glory said, Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death. It's my prerogative where you live, or whether you die. It's in my hands where you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. The believer repents, the believer believes, but both are given to him from God. I have the keys of hell and of death. You weren't born with a key in your heart that you could turn and unlock heaven's door. Christ has it. Not a church. Christ. Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse number 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And here's a cluster of grapes that two men brought back, carrying it on their shoulders. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Ai there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." We can't do it. And Caleb and Joshua said, "We can." Now here's the question. How many 20-year-olds were there gathered when the spies brought back the report? It's a good land. Here's some of the fruit, nevertheless. And the 20-year-olds were around there. They didn't have an opinion. We can overcome, or we will be overcome. We will conquer the land, or we won't conquer the land. It didn't matter. It's not an issue. They're 20 years old. They got other things more important. Where am I going to live? Who will I find for a wife? What will my occupation be? Will I be known throughout the land as one of the great men among the children of Israel? War didn't matter. I'm going to be this big sports figure. Everybody will know. I'm going to be this movie star or this great singer. It didn't matter to them. Their fate, their eternal destination was already sealed before they ever left Egypt. Don't care how many miracles God did, how much water they drank from a rock, how much manna fell, how many they seen die because God was angry at it. It didn't matter. They were already sealed. They were not going to be affected. And that's what troubles me. Some of you may be already to the point that the preaching is not going to get to you. It's not going to bother you. It wasn't an issue to them. Tomorrow, next year, and the year after. And I wonder how many moms and how many dads took an active role in sealing their children's eternal condemnation. Moses gathered that congregation and he said, "When you get in that land, you shall teach diligently thy children these statutes. Set before them God's law. You'll talk of them when you sittest in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Instill the word of God." 600,000 men have died and their moms and dads. How many of them died without the least concern of their eternal soul? Probably the majority. They belonged in the elect nation. They have the service of the tabernacle. They have had the cloud by day and by night. They've got the ark of God. They belong to Abram's children. Still clinging to that when Christ got here. They watched their parents die without, Psalm 73, any bands. That's bonds or pangs, deep mental anguish. They watched their parents die. There was no anguish on their face. And as they watched them die, their strength was firm all the way till they took the last breath. And here's a conclusion that the natural man will draw from that. It was well with their souls. Because one facing eternal damnation will have it manifest in their countenance in death. Not now. You're not going to see it now. You're not going to hear about it now. If you hear about it, the medicine is running low or not given. We're going to make a peaceful departure. After all, everybody's going to heaven. Not a one of you have ever heard a funeral that the deceased wasn't going to heaven. We have inoculated this land. I know that they'd be in heaven because they didn't have a worried countenance. And you've heard folk look at coffins, look at people, the remains, and they say, don't they look peaceful? They might look that. That doesn't mean that they are. And it doesn't mean that the split second after life was no more in existence, that they were in a peaceful condition. The difference between a religious person and a child of God is that the religious person grows stronger and stronger in self as every day passes, as every gospel message is presented to their ears. They grow stronger. They grow more confident. They grow more in self-assurance. And the child of God grows weaker and weaker. Every time he or she hears a sermon, they wonder, am I truly a Christian? Why am I filled with all these doubts if I belong to the Lord? It's really not that we grow weaker and weaker day by day. It's just that we've come to the realization of something of our weakness as we walk with the Lord. So we get weaker due to a realization of our true condition. Folk, I'm not any weaker than I was 40 years ago. You say, well, I know that's not so. No, what you're judging is the strength of bones and the strength of muscles. That's not the old nature. The old nature is that that resides in mind, in heart, and in will. And he'll die a strong man unless helped by the Lord. And the child of God grows weaker and weaker. And the 20-year-olds and up were sealed and hardened more with every miracle that they witnessed. With every reading of the law, they were being sealed. The life of the parent witnessed so strongly against dedication to the Lord that the children could never be persuaded. I don't care what mom does, you under 20. I don't care what dad does. I don't care if they're not dedicated. You're still responsible. These of that age could never be persuaded that Moses was right. Never. Numbers 14. Well, I'm just 10, or I'm just 15 or 16 or 18. You're being moved towards God, or you're being hardened with every gospel message. Oh, I lost, what did I say? Numbers 15. I did. That's where I meant for you to be. Thank you, sir. Numbers 14. Verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a calf. Let's get a new preacher. We get tired of this old Moses. Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search, it's an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they have bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation, 20 years old and up, bade stone them with stone. Kill them! Joshua and Caleb are lying to you. Now you listen, if you're old enough to go fight and die, you're old enough to not let the opinions and the persuasions and the conduct of anybody else affect you. You're 20 years old, but you better get this settled before you get to 20. You can't let people affect your eternal soul. And how many are hardened against God, against the gospel, because of blank hypocrites taking such an active part in the services of God. And they see them. Well, he's going to heaven. He's a deacon. He's a Sunday school teacher. It's all right with me. Now you that have these 20 years and younger, young minds are most impressionable. God must be rightly represented before them, because they will follow the lead of the path. How many are Baptists, because that's what mom and dad is? How many are Methodists or Presbyterians or Pentecostal? How many are what you are? Not because the Baptists, but because you found it to be the way of God. Represent God rightly before them. You got only a short time to mold their thinking, and everything is against them. The world, school, government, religion, and oh, how many people are permanently hardened before they get to 20. Is God, His church, a holy life? Your dedication, is that not the priority in your life? If it's not, it will never be in theirs. What's the main purpose of life that you convey to them? The greater number of people in our world, down here in the Bible Belt, are professing Christians. Yet the outward conduct of most of these professing Christians is loudly proclaiming that a holy life is not important. Everybody's going to heaven. How I live is not important. You better get this soul set, so resolutely settled in your mind and in your convictions, if you're the only one left, you still serve God. I know there exists in every one of you something of a kind heart, and you will attribute to everybody, because you've got something of honesty, you'll attribute to everybody that says they're a Christian, you'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm not telling you that's wrong, but you better not let their conduct influence your life. Everybody says, I'm a Christian. If they're godly, holy living and dedication doesn't back up that they say with their mouth, back off. It's a lot easier on every one of us to believe that our loved ones are going to heaven. How many 20-year-olds in that crowd died in the wilderness because 10 men said they couldn't do what God said they should? And 2 men said they could. You're going to always believe the majority. There are 1,000 preachers that will contradict what I tell you. Will make the way easy, and you'll find it is a lot easier to follow a false prophet. I'm not interested in what the majority believe. There's going to come a time when you that are closely connected with these under 20, when you've got to explain to them that the majority is not always right. Well, my friends do this and they go to church. I don't care what your friends do. If you hold that one set of beliefs is as good as another, it won't matter what they believe. If you hold that one place of worship is as good as another place of worship, it won't matter where they go. But don't give them up without a fight. Even if you stand in opposition with everybody around you, don't let religion form their minds. Don't let the trends of society and the greater number. Don't let none of these form your children's thinking. Don't give up on it either. Don't give up without a fight. It's not about a playground here. It's not about you being with friends and the greater number being there. It's not about attending a place for more activity. Somebody told me last week of a place that has put in PlayStations for all the young children. And we've built gyms. Well, you're just jealous because we don't have, doesn't faze me one bit. I'd fight you if you wanted to put one up. It's about them finding God. And God being so set before them here and with you. That the ten doesn't convince them. It's about them finding the truth here. God, salvation, a dedicated life. Now closing. In the passage, Numbers 32, in the others that I read to you, 10 men convinced 600,000. In the passage in Numbers 32, Moses is concerned about the lesser number affecting the greater. You 2.5 want to stop here? Don't you know what happened to us when the 10 spies brought back the evil report? The man John was telling you about I don't know if it was in that message, but he told about being the head of 300 infidels. And he said, I found out it's a lot easier to lead men to hell than it is to lead them to Christ. It's not about finding a comfortable place and settling down. Finding a place that won't cost us too much. It's going to cost you to be a Christian. Ten spies convinced Israel they couldn't. Moses is concerned, 2.5 convince them. There's no need us going in there and warring. We found good pasture land. If there were 50 dedicated young people here, which there are not, one person on the outside could persuade them to evil more than the 50 in could persuade them to do right. And human nature is going to always take the path of least resistance. And you're going to be warring against religion, against formality in our setting. You're going to be warring against the trends of the day, the social culture of the day. You're going to be fighting against all that. But you had a good introduction. Some of you walk out of here as Hannah. They will know about my God. May the Lord have mercy on all of us.